Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah, yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen, listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam.
Turn it up, turn it up.
It's the Pancake and Power Slam Show.
Indeed, indeed, indeed. It is the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. We are here regular time today. We are back on track, back on the saddle. We had a 4th of July express version for you last week, but we are here, we are back, same time as normal. I am Chris Featherstone, along always with Ryan Fuqua.
Good evening, and yes, that's Ryan, not to be confused with the Ryback.
Wow, the Ryback.
The Ryback.
He is the right back. That means that he is somebody worth importance. I don't even know if I can give him that much right now. But thanks so much for joining us as you do every week. For those who listen to us every week, thank you so much for all your support. First time listeners, thank you so much as well. We are very, 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 very open for discussion as far as the listeners are concerned, so feel free to give us a call if you'd like, 347-884-8452, and then we have the chat room open as always. Just flood the chat room and discuss Raw, SmackDown, ROH, TNA. We got a lot to cover this week. Had a wonderful pay-per-view, and our flavor of the week this week is the biggest identity angles. There's a few that's about 10 or so that has been very notable throughout the years, throughout WCW, NWA, and even one TNA identity angle that had three of the same number in it that's unfortunately wasn't as good as the hype was. So I think with that hint, you know what I'm talking about. But we'll get to that as we do always at the end of the show. And as always in the beginning of the show, we will go to last week's errors. Actually, 2 weeks' errors, because there was no errors on the Express show 2 weeks ago. Santino, we were talking about Santino as far as the Money in the Bank is concerned, as far as the U.S. title is concerned. He did not defend the U.S. title over the limit. Christian chose Cody Rhodes. That was a conversation we had a couple weeks ago. And then as far as Carlito and the Money in the Bank, I was right about Carlito's involvement in kind of initiating the Money in the Bank. Jericho did initiate it per the offices of Eric Bischoff, like I mentioned, in 05, and then Carlito revived it in 2006, but he lost in the qualifying match on Raw to Ric Flair. So I thought it was, I believe I said either Ric Flair or Shelton Benjamin, and it was indeed Ric Flair. So got some news that's been going on the past week or so. Rebby Sky was irate at Sid's WWE return because the past few years, Sid has been known for no-showing indie events. There was one indie event that happened quite fairly recently within the past year, and he was supposed to go. If anybody doesn't know, Rebbe Sky is a very well mildly popular personality throughout the internet and some television. She is the girlfriend of Matt Hardy, and she's actually upset. She was actually very upset because Sid, within the past year, he had a main event show against Matt Hardy, and he no-showed. There's a couple other no-shows that he did in indie events, too. But he was supposed to fight Matt Hardy, and he no-showed. And Jay Lethal actually took Sid's place and actually did a pretty good Sid impersonation going to the ring. And next, Joey Ryan, the person who was rejected for the Gut Check Challenge, he starts a 87% club. Then he goes to latest TNA Impact. He goes to the Impact show a couple weeks ago with a camera, and Taz goes out and they get into an altercation. From what it's worth, Hulk Hogan has admitted that this is all a work. So I don't see how that would necessarily help TNA at all, because they rejected Joey Ryan, but it's a work. So if it is indeed a work, I'm totally not a fan of it. Rey Mysterio and Mark Henry set to return on a 1,000th Raw, and then there's some reports that Mysterio may return as early as next week. And then TNA releases Angelina Love. Kenny King gets released from ROH. His contract expired late June. I believe it was the 24th of June, if I'm not mistaken, the same day as the previous internet pay-per-view. TNA, the All-Night Express won the tag team titles, and Kenny King had like a handshake deal that he can go wherever he wants, part of his contract, and compete until they negotiate something different. But he competed in ROH, and he competed in TNA, as we've seen the past couple of weeks. He's competed in TNA Impact, and evidently ROH wasn't happy with that, even though his contract expired, and they just went ahead and ceased all negotiations with him. And then our top story is we saw it on Raw yesterday, but Rock tweeted it. He will be returning on the 1,000th Raw, and he promises to vie for the WWE Championship. Now, I don't know how legit that is as far as Rock going for the championship. It doesn't really do much for me to have Rock have another title run. I don't know how many times this would be as far as the WWE champ. If I'm not 7, I'm not sure. I wouldn't. I mean, he's a part-time guy. He comes a few times a year, and just to put the title on him just wouldn't be okay. Going for the WWE Championship, I wouldn't necessarily be upset about, because if CM Punk wins, I wouldn't mind a Rock Punk something going on for Survivor Series or something like that. I wouldn't mind Rock and Punk, or if John Cena beats CM Punk on SummerSlam, we would see Cena and Rock two at Survivor Series, and last year they were tag team, so I guess they can set it up like that as well. But I definitely wouldn't be okay with The Rock having the title.
Yeah, my only question here was, why wouldn't The Rock be at Raw 1000?
Exactly.
That's a no-brainer. So,
yeah.
I don't know. That's how far from the WWE universe he is. We know people like Stone Cold will be there. They haven't had to announce that, you know. So,
yeah,
I don't know. He won't ever be champ. So, but they need to stop that.
Yeah, they do. They really do. Because, you know, you can't really, it's especially the IWC. I mean, you really, you can with some certain marks, but just as a whole, a lot, you know, you just really can't insult their intelligence a lot of times. And just, I think that the WWE universe as a whole, you really can't insult their intelligence. It's like, okay, well, another Rock showing. Are we supposed to be elated about this? So,
you can barely put four shows together, you know,
exactly.
To go from No Way Out to, was it Elimination Chamber to Mania this year? So,
yeah.
Why? Yeah. And that was tough scheduling. So,
right.
I don't know. Just they need to give it up. It's bad.
It is indeed. So, feel free to call in if you'd like. The number is 347-884-8452. Have a lot to cover. We're going to cover, of course, Raw and SmackDown, and then of course Impact Wrestling and ROH, and then the pay-per-view Destination X as well. If anybody, for all those who listen every week, you would know that I was very, very happy with the outcome of the Destination X pay-per-view, and we will get to that later. All right, let's go to Raw. This first starts off with AJ and CM Punk in-ring segment. AJ asks CM Punk to marry her, and interrupted by Daniel Bryan, who admits that he never stopped having feelings for AJ, and proposes to AJ, and then Punk stops it. And then interrupted by the anonymous Raw GM, which, of course, we will get to that soon. If anybody has any anonymous Raw GM thoughts, I'm sure that there is a very, very slim percentage of any that's agreed with who that was revealed to be. And then the Raw anonymous Raw GM schedules a match with Punk and AJ against Daniel Bryan and Eve. More AJ spotlight, as we'll see, you know, as we saw throughout the whole night. It's like, it gets to the point now where I'm a big fan of AJ spotlight. Like, you know, I've mentioned many times that AJ is definitely, I mean, AJ is officially grown on me. I'm an AJ fan. I love her character. I love what she's doing. But it's really hurting the Divas division as a whole, because we continue to see a lack of other Divas being on the spotlight. And, you know, just we hardly ever see Layla in a specific spot to her own now. So although she's really, you know, being the Mickey James, you know, Trish Stratus of this era, or Tori Wilson, you can throw her in as far as dominant divas as far as exposure is concerned. It's really hurting the rest of them. So I don't know the long run how that'll pan out.
Yeah, my thing for AJ, like I said, when I seen her leading off Raw, you know, it's just like, man, this is rags to riches or NXT, the main event. Like, that's It's still crazy to me. Like, out of nowhere, they just used her, and it worked. Like, that's, wow, they did something good. But other than that, I actually thought it was a nice return for the anonymous GM, because I totally forgot about the anonymous GM, and then I was like, oh yeah, every past GM gets a shot. So it was actually cool for one night, and one night only. Don't get it wrong. Don't get me my words twisted. It was, one night it was okay, and yeah, and then it got real quick. My favorite GM, anonymous GM moment is when Edge took out the laptop. That had to be the best, man. That was awesome. Funny.
Sure was.
Ric Flair, some old school Ric Flair.
Yeah, that's a good reference, because that definitely seemed like old school Ric Flair. Yeah, that's my most memorable anonymous Raw GM moment too. I wasn't too opposed to the Raw GM anonymous Raw GM appearing. Just like you said, just because, you know, of the fact that every GM has to appear. But at the same time, it's like, you know, ooh, you know, what it turned out to be was rough.
Yeah.
And
it should have let it be. We'll talk.
Yeah, definitely. Then we saw Sheamus defeating Jack Swagger and Alberto Del Rio interrupts the Titantron, and then Sheamus kicks Swagger again. Just rough to me. It's really, really rough. I really don't understand why they're doing this to Jack Swagger. It's a tough one. I don't know what he's done to go in the quote unquote doghouse, but just what they're doing with Jack Swagger is just ridiculous. I'm totally not in favor of it, and I think that something has to be done about just him being one, you know, just further closer and closer to the future Endeavor line if they continue to do stuff like this with him. And he would be, to me, he's one of the wrestlers who always should have a spot just because he's that good in the ring.
Yeah. And he didn't even get an entrance. That was, you know, I don't think he has 2 or 3 weeks, but also too, man, for them to deep push him. And like you said, if they do let him go, that's kind of egg on their face because they made him world champ, you know? So
exactly.
It's you build these people up and then you just wipe the rug from under their feet real quick. So I don't know. But that brogue kick by Sheamus was awesome. That was take your head off style there.
Yeah, it was. Speaking of building up people to throw them under the rug, we'll get to that real quick after. Backstage segment, Zack Ryder and Santino. Santino was on the search to find the anonymous GM, which I was intrigued to see who it was. I think that build was good, but the payoff was just, we'll get to that soon. And then the building him up just to sweep him under and I guess realize that he's under the rug and say, oh, okay, well, the rug is getting bumpy. Tensai, him and Dolph Ziggler defeated Christian and Tyson Kidd. Post-match attack by Tensai on Tyson Kidd. I'm not too opposed to the Tensai and Tyson Kidd build. I think it's a nice little mid-card build. Tyson Kidd is getting a bit of a push, and Tensai, you know, he has to stay in the mid-card. Anything other than that is just it's just a disaster waiting to happen, just like his gimmick. And still, but the thing is, still to me, I believe that he is really shadowed by his gimmick. I think Albert A-Train, anything like that, being some type of hired hitman, mercenary, just a bully or something like that would work. But just he's so entrapped and bound by his gimmick that, to me, even this, I'm not sold on this either. I mean, it's a step up from what they tried to do. But still, I mean, I really hope they're trying to make him relevant for Money in the Bank, but it just really seems like he's not going to have any type of relevance on Money in the Bank anyway. So I'm still not sold on Tensai.
Don't force Tensai on us, please.
Please don't. Please
That's
don't.
That's exactly what they're doing. It's not working. I admitted defeat weeks ago right here on this very show, and they need to do the same. So a retooling of Tensai would be okay. I can take that. He's got to get back in better shape. Like you said, I've noticed it's getting worse and worse every week. Oh, geez.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I really hope they don't waste Vicky Guerrero on him.
Oh,
she's such
yeah.
a good character now. It took her so long to get to where she is now. Because, I mean, remember, she just used to, she didn't have it at all at first. I was like, why is she on TV? But I feel like if I was in WWE right now, I could probably at least, they'd maybe bring back the European Championship for me. If Vicky was in my corner, she could get me over enough with the crowd to where I could at least be European champion.
Yeah.
That's her character's that good, man. She could bring somebody up.
Yeah, yeah.
Don't waste her on Tensai. Please.
I would agree with that. I would definitely agree with that. When I saw the look that she did when Tensai, you know, post-match, I said, oh, no. I really hope that's... They aren't doing anything with that, and I still do my my five question series, but I haven't had an opportunity yet to write it. I will be writing it very soon, most likely tomorrow, and this show would probably be on the article. So, but that's one of my. That'll mostly be one of my top five questions, or at least an alternate question. Why? I mean, why even make that type of investment? I mean, we've already seen it. It is awkward. We've already seen it with AW and Mason Ryan. You know, we saw him for a little bit. I mean, really, Mason Ryan with potentially Dolph Ziggler and house shows, and then they just, you know, pull the plug on him. I think that I would rather see Mason Ryan with Vicky Guerrero than Tensai, because what does that do? I would prefer neither, but if, you know, if it helps Mason Ryan as far as him being relevant, I would rather see him than, you know, with Vicky than Tensai, because what happens to Sakamoto? You know, does he beat on Sakamoto and Vicky exit on? I mean, it's just a disaster waiting to happen if that goes on. I just really hope not. So then we go to the anonymous GM announces match between Lawler and Cole. Brodus Clay defeats Drew McIntyre. I'm still okay with Brodus, but Drew McIntyre is similar to Jack Swagger to me, on a little lesser level. This is another guy that just really should be, I don't know what is going on, really. I mean, I really think that, he should have some type of better spot than what he's having right now. Why not be in the Intercontinental title picture with Christian? I mean, it would make sense to me, but Drew McIntyre is just a wasted talent now.
Oh yeah, he was the chosen one by McMahon in the beginning, and had those good battles with Morrison and Hardy, and had the IC strap, but yeah, I mean, he's so far from that now. It's like none of his history ever existed. Like, he's always been a jobber, and like, he's stuck there. So I don't know, man. He got squashed, and it looks like also it's back to the old Brodus Clay for one night where matches, and then kids came back in the ring again, and I don't know. It just, Drew, I feel sorry for Drew, man. He's stuck. I don't know if there's anything that can get him out.
For those who don't remember, he was tag team champions with Cody Rhodes at one point in time.
Oh, I told his history is erased, man.
That's the sad part, and he was tag champs with Cody Rhodes, and but now it really doesn't matter. That stat really doesn't matter at all, because Drew McIntyre is just really an afterthought. So it's really sad to see that. Then we saw backstage segment, Chris Jericho, Santino, and Big Show. Jericho is being less and less of a heel. I don't know if it's a slow turn or not, but, I'm Like I've said before, I mean, he has to turn face. I don't see anything with what they're doing right now. With Jericho, he's really a spot filler, and I think he deserves a lot better than that. And in this situation, most likely he'll lose Money in the Bank. I hope I'm wrong, but most likely he'll lose Money in the Bank, and then leading to SummerSlam, I don't see where they would put him. If anybody has any ideas of where Chris Jericho could be SummerSlam, be sure to log into the chat room and let us know where you think Chris Jericho could fit as far as SummerSlam is concerned. But I don't see anything going on with him. I hope it's not another hiatus with Fozzie. I mean, I know he has a tour, and I know he has commitments with them, but I really hope to see him in some type of major capacity at SummerSlam.
Yeah, it's crazy how this Money in the Bank between the champion, the WWE Championship Money in the Bank, and the actual WWE Championship match, I mean, whichever goes on first, and, you know, it's one of those things like, okay, if he wins, then he's going to win in this match. So we'll know the main event of SummerSlam by the whichever match comes first at Money in the Bank. So the WWE title match or the WWE Money in the Bank match. So
indeed.
And that, they're just getting too predictable with that. But that's a whole nother topic. But yeah, Y2J and Santino, you could sign me up for that any day. So I definitely would be opposed to seeing more backstage stuff with them.
Yeah, I agree. Then we went to Stephanie McMahon's Thousand Roth moment was the wedding. That was a nice little nostalgic moment there. Yes, had that venomous scream. February 2002, over 10 years ago. That's really very, very nostalgic. Then we saw a John Cena in-ring promo. And then Cena and Kane went against Jericho and Big Show. This is one thing I didn't understand. What was the conclusion of the match? The bell rung, but was it a DQ? And if that's the case, when has a DQ ever been by someone pulling someone out of the ring? I never, you know, the whole thing, and then, you know, Big Show attacks Jericho with the ladder and Kane, but Cena comes back and attacks Show with the ladder. But the ending really, really confused me. Was it a no contest? It just really puzzled me as far as why they would call the bell on something like that. If that's the case, they have to call. I mean, they don't even call. They barely even call it when they pull the ref out. Better yet, someone on their own. If that's the case, that's like someone coming inside the ring and hitting someone when they're pinning someone. I mean, it seems like it would be equivalent as far as calling disqualification for that too. So that ending totally confused me.
Oh yeah, it was bad. Well, I'm going to get to those poor guys, but first, real quick, you mentioned the Raw 1000. The Raw 1000s, man, they've given me some good memories so far, man. It's like you remember what point of your life you were at, each one I've seen so far, like 90s, 2000, you know, all that stuff. So that's really cool to see it from a kid, a teenager, an adult. So that's really good. And then, like you said, I remember that shot of Stephanie screaming. I mean, they used that forever, so that was pretty cool. But, getting back to these four guys here, I thought I was okay with this Money in the Bank, you know, with the whole former WWE champion or whatever, you know, being in a match until there was only four of them. I was like, wow, I thought we were going to at least have six, but whatever, you get with four. And then they're making it too much about John Cena. I don't know. It's Like, I know Kane's a Money in the Bank all-star, said he's been in the most, and he's the only one out of those four that's won one. But Big Show, I don't know. He may be the only other person I see winning, because sadly I don't think Jericho will. I'd like him to. I don't think he will, you know, but it's too much about Cena, man. That's why. And don't get me wrong, I still like Cena, but they're making this way too much about him.
I tell you what, man, I can't try. Like, I tried, and everybody knows that's watched this show and that know me personally. There was about a month span probably a couple months, during the whole Rock and the 2012 latter end of the Rock Cena feud. I was pro Cena in the feud regardless, but going towards Mania, I was definitely pro Cena. Only thing it took was a Cena win, but yeah. I'm in hindsight, I'm glad that he, you know, I still would have preferred him to win, but it panned out pretty well, because I think that I got to stay to my word and like Cena if he would have won, but it have been really tough for me, because we have been grossly oversaturated with John Cena this year, and he's not even champion. So, and it's almost August, and it's mid-July almost, you know, approaching the eighth month of the year.
Do you think this will be the main event? And once again, that goes back to saying, if there's no title change with the WWE Championship, you know, this might be the main event, or it's all a domino effect, man. But do you think this, the Money in the Bank, the WWE title Money in the Bank four-way will be the main event?
I do, because
with, you know, winning at the end, just we'll see the fingers in the air at the end of the program, and yeah.
I think this is pay-per-view number 7, I believe, for John Cena to be the headliner. I believe it's been 7. It's been, what, 8 pay-per-views this year, and he was not in or has it been, what, has it been 7 or 8 pay-per-views? Royal Rumble, Elimination Chamber, Mania, Extreme Rules, Over the Limit, No Way Out, right? And then 7, Money in Bank could be 7. Out of all that, this would be, you know, number the only one that he's missed was Royal Rumble as far as the main event. So I think this was, what's that?
Was he in the Rumble?
No, him and Kane had a no contest. The whole Zack Ryder was still around and involved in that, and just a weird no contest between him and Kane.
And had a no contest.
Yeah, so he lost at Mania, and he lost against Laurinaitis. So he lost twice, had a no contest, and won 3 times. He beat Kane at Elimination Chamber, he beat Lesnar at Extreme Rules, and he beat Big Show at No Way Out. So 3-2-1 is Cena's record so far, and I think that it'll be 4-2-1 after Sunday. Unfortunately, I think I hope they pull a swerve. Like you said, it's been surrounded with Cena, but I hope they pull a swerve though. I hope the swerve isn't the Big Show winning. I'd prefer Jericho, but I'd even be fine with Kane winning. Jericho and Kane are the dark horses. I don't know which one's the bigger dark horse. I would probably say maybe Kane, because he hasn't really had any type of advantage or any type of recognition to be in the match, you know, other than the announcing of the match. So I would say that Kane would be the biggest dark horse. I would be fine with him and Jericho winning, but I do think that this will be the main event, and I think that Cena will continue his main event streak, unfortunately. So we'll see. Then we go to a backstage segment of CM Punk and Eve. A bit weird to me, just Eve still. I mean, she does absolutely nothing for me as far as her wrestling personality is concerned. Another backstage segment with Santino and Kali. That was quite funny. Then we saw R-Truth and Kofi announced to go against Hunico and Camacho for the Money in the Bank pre-show. You called the pre-show for R-Truth and Kofi. you called half of it. No primetime players. I wonder why that's the case. I really don't understand why Money in the Bank would not be. Unless they're building it up for SummerSlam, I can see why they can. I wouldn't be too opposed to it, and primetime players beat R-Truth and Kofi. I wouldn't be too opposed to that. I like the primetime players. I like Truth and Kofi better, but I do like the primetime players. So if they are building it up for SummerSlam, I'd be okay with that. And then Sin Cara defeated Heath Slater in a Money in the Bank qualifier, and we'll talk a little bit soon about the surprise we saw as far as the Legends concerned. But SummerSlam, primetime players, and R-Truth and Kofi, I'd be okay with it.
I don't know, man. I think that they may have got the number one contendership a little bit too soon, you know, because it's kind of like how does it validate them having that match when Hunico and Camacho get a pre-show match? You know, like, and I know WWE could care less about that from that type of standpoint, but I don't, maybe it's just more egg on their face. Maybe they said, oh yeah, these guys are good, and they're just not ready. They think they're not ready, so.
Yeah.
I don't know, but yeah, it would be a better build-up, but I just wouldn't have had them win so long ago, or, you know, become number one contender so long ago. Now, I know the AW was kept pulling out and saying they're not ready, or he sees this, and they're doing that angle, but,
yeah,
I mean, are you going to do that for the next, what, 6 weeks?
Yeah, and the thing is, they wanted, what, a No Way Out, right?
Yeah.
They wanted in June, so you're talking about 2 months for the number one contendership, but there has been no build to it at all. So it is a bit odd to see that, especially when the, I mean, it seemed like it just kind of diffused when R-Truth broke his foot. I mean, as far as because it was red hot for a second, the tag division. But unfortunately, it seems like that one thing, R-Truth breaks his foot. They did a good replacement with the Fatal 4-Way, but at the same time, it just seems like they're not really putting their stock in it as much as they were about a couple of months ago, two, three months ago. More like 2 months ago. So
they don't have a clue what they're doing with the tag team division, and they haven't for years now. It's been so long since they've. I mean, the days of, and I don't want to go too far back, but that's probably what it is, but the days of Edge and Christian and the Hardys and the Dudleys, they're so far from that. I mean, those guys, look at how big they all are now. All those guys are I want to use mega for some of them, but I mean, they're all, that's how they made their name, tag team, you know. Mm-hmm. You got a Hall of Famer and Edge. You know, so that's
a shoe win in Christian to me. I believe that Christian will be a shoe win Hall of Famer as well. So.
Oh yeah, but it's like now. Look at these guys now in the tag division. None of these guys are going to be Hall of Famers because they're never going to get a chance. How are they going to make a solo name? Let's have them together forever, and then one turns heel on the other. It's the same cycle.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. Very well said. You're right. The same song and dance. You know, someone.
Yeah.
The team gets built. Someone turns heel. Yeah.
Years.
Yeah, and just thinking about it, I don't know. Just really thinking about that. I could see possibly the Usos going in as a team, but their build is so lackluster. We've mentioned countless amount of times on the show that, you know, the Usos is the most polished tag team in the WWE.
Yep.
But they have what it takes to be Hall of Fame worthy, but they're just not putting any stock in them, and it's ridiculous to me. So,
right.
We got Sin Cara in the Money in the Bank, like I mentioned. He'll just be a high fly spot filler, and he'll. Yeah, that would be his. But hey, you know what? You know, you called Sin Cara on the quest
yeah.
of the World Heavyweight Championship. So,
and if he wins, got to cash it in before Money in the Bank next year. So that would be before SummerSlam 2013. Oh yeah, I'd be right.
It was a far stretch, man. But there's some type of validity to that far stretch because Sin Cara might win. So, and we'll actually this is the go home show to Money in the Bank. So we have to we'll be doing the Money in the Bank predictions as well. So let's go forward here. Bob Backlund comes back out of and eventually he comes. He's later. He calls for a former world champion to come out, and Backlund comes out. And wow, I mean, you know, talk about. I marked out for. It wasn't like a big, serious, emphatic mark out, but I had to do a presidential style clap and smile when Backlund came out because I absolutely. Loved it. And Toots here in the chat room, he said something good about Bob Backlund. He actually believed that Bob Backlund was the only good part of Raw. He didn't believe Raw was good at all. And he also believed that the build up to the 1,000th episode has been subpar, which I can see that making sense as well. But the legends build up, I would tend to disagree about that as far as bringing legends. They, like I said before, they're not bringing the normals, you know, so I'm a big fan of that. And you still got a chance. But, I mean, for a guy who turns 63 years old this year, he looked great. And I was a big fan of Backlund coming back.
Yeah, we haven't seen, well, at least I haven't. I mean, I may be missing a program or two in between there. I'm sure I'm not, but unless he was in the Legends Battle Royal at WrestleMania 17, and if anybody in the chat rooms knows, let us know about Bob Backlund being in the Legends Battle Royal at WrestleMania 17. If he wasn't, we haven't seen him since. The 2000 Royal Rumble, he was one of the guest participants. So that's 12 years ago. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was. Absolutely. I was a big fan of that. And I hope they just pull out – I hope they pull out all the stops with that. I'd be a big fan of that.
Well, real quick, where does Heath Slater go on the 1,001st episode of Raw? What does he do?
He won't be on the 1,001st episode of Raw.
Exactly.
That is my prediction on that. So he'll be on a dark match, most likely. That would be his Raw spot. So. The live audience will see him on the 1,001st Raw. So, unfortunately. then we saw Jerry Lawler defeat Michael Cole and overturned by the anonymous GM. And then, yeah. And then we saw the anonymous GM. He was revealed to be none other than the one, the only, the legendary Hornswoggle. And out of all the anonymous Raw GM hubbub that we've seen over the past few years, this was all apparently orchestrated by Hornswoggle. I tweeted after that when I saw it. I said three words. I said, "I feel violated." And that was just utterly ridiculous to me. And, I mean, the whole thing fell flat. He, you know, the whole kick to the knee and all of that stuff to Lawler and to Cole. And it was just utterly ridiculous to me. I was totally not a fan of it.
Not at all. Number one, it should have just stayed secret. They waited too long in the first place to ever announce who it was, so they failed at that. So they should have just stayed secret. We're not buying that it's Hornswoggle. You could have told me it was anybody in the WWE universe, and I wouldn't have bought it. So for me, it could have been, I can't even think of anybody insane to say. I don't know, but I would not have cared. Like, I still would have been upset because they waited so long. So this will go down, to me, this will go down as one of the most epic fails in WWE history.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's my top.
Absolutely.
Maybe higher.
Yeah. I couldn't say that any better. I really can't. epic fail in my camp as well, and in my book. Absolutely. Then we saw, lastly, the part of Raw was CM Punk and AJ defeating Daniel Bryan and Eve. Daniel Bryan dropping off the ring when Eve tries to tag him. And then Bryan tells AJ to go get married to him, and Punk tells AJ that he's not going to marry him. AJ smacks both of them and leaves. Once again, a ending of ending of Raw with AJ. So we'll see where this goes. We'll see, because at the end of the day, you know, she's going to have to be away from this angle. So, you know, similar to Heath Slater, and as far as, like, where does the future lie, not so much if she has a future, because I think it's pretty evident, but where does the future lie for AJ? For instance, you know, turning the tables, I mean, I'll ask you, where do you see AJ post this Daniel Bryan and CM Punk feud?
Where I would want to see her, hopefully she does something heelish to help Daniel Bryan win, because A, I want a new champion, and B, I want it to be Daniel Bryan. And I would like to see her be a heel and feud with Layla and win her first Divas title at SummerSlam. I know exactly where I wanted to go with her.
Yeah.
In a perfect world, anyway.
Yeah. I can see how that would work. I'll be okay with that, definitely. So, and then we'll go to SmackDown here. If anybody have any thoughts, the number's 347-884-8452. Feel free to log into the chat room and discuss any Raw, SmackDown, Impact Wrestling, or ROH thoughts. We'll be getting on to the Slam, Destination X here soon. First, let's go to SmackDown quickly. The last week was the Great American Bash Super SmackDown. First saw Alberto Del Rio promo. Believes that he spotted an illegal alien. Sheamus comes out and they fight. Alberto Del Rio gets the final advantage on Sheamus and hits him repeatedly with the car hood. Then we saw Great Khali and Layla defeated Antonio Cesaro and Oksana. Mick Foley's 1,000th Raw moment was winning the WWE title in 99. pretty pivotal moment. Over 600,000 people changed the channel to watch Foley and win, and Nitro never beat Raw in ratings again. So as much as Mick Foley gets scrutiny throughout the WWE, as far as Triple H is concerned, you know, he was the one. He was the one that really made the shift into the WWE becoming the juggernaut as it is now. So kudos to Foley.
Yeah.
What's that?
I said, take that, Shivani.
Yeah, exactly. Shivani and Bischoff. So then Cody Rhodes defeats Christian, qualifies for Money in the Bank. Dolph Ziggler defeats Alex Riley to qualify for Money in the Bank. AJ interview with Michael Cole, interrupted by Daniel Bryan and CM Punk. And then AJ passionately kisses Daniel Bryan. CM Punk leaves, so he walks out, but AJ stops him and does the same. Santino, Sergeant Slaughter, and Hacksaw Jim Duggan defeats Hunico, Camacho, and Drew McIntyre. Ryback defeats Curt Hawkins. More Goldberg chants by Ryback. Donald Trump, favorite moment, dropping money from rafters doing Vince promo. And then Zack Ryder wins the 20-man Battle Royal. Decent show. I mean, Great American Bash, I'm a traditionalist, and I'm thinking, you know, this better be, I know it's only going to be 2 hours, but it's live, and it's, you know, it better at least have some type of precedence, you know, as far as other SmackDowns is concerned. But it was decent. It wasn't anything big for me. I would have wished that they would have done a little bit more, you know, since they did give it a Great American Bash theme. The live feel felt okay. So it's okay as far as that's concerned. But the rest of it just really didn't do much for me, especially with that type of a Great American Bash, you know, expectation to it. Two things. Ryback actually went against one person, Curt Hawkins, and I actually would be okay if Ryback did some type of angle with Hawkins and Rex.
Because
it would be something. It would be some type of direction for Ryback. Maybe, you know, this week he beats Tyler Rex, and then maybe even he goes against the both of them at Money in the Bank. You know what I mean? At least those are two – at least that's a handicap match that would be at least legitimate instead of just some random jobbers. And then lastly, Ryder winning the 20-man Battle Royal – you know, there were 20 people, and I believe 8 of them were current former world champions. And for Zack Ryder to win that type of battle royal is pretty good. So we'll see where Ryder fits into the SmackDown. Will he put himself in the Money in the Bank? We shall see.
Yeah, I knew he was going to win when there was like 6 people left. I just had that feeling by the superstars that were left. But real quick, Sheamus, hadn't seen him get dominated like that in a long time. He's been on such a roll. Got a Shucky Ducky Quack book. So, like, you know me, I always catch him. and then lastly, man, come on, Vince. What are you doing? Did you hear Alex Riley's pop?
Yes, yes.
From the kids, man. What are you doing?
Yes.
I don't.
Oh, good call on that. Yes.
Oh, I don't.
Great call on that.
I
yeah.
I don't get it.
There was a. We're going to take a call here soon. There was a guy who commented an article that I wrote, the 5 questions I wrote for SmackDown. I write for Raw and SmackDown, but I wrote the 5 questions article last week, and there was a guy who commented that said he usually goes to a lot of the WWE live events, and he says that there was a great call because I noticed that pop too, and he said that he goes to the live events, and he experiences the same thing. That's legit. That's not dubbed. that is a legit pop that Alex Riley gets, and he experiences it too. So, I was definitely, definitely noticed that when Riley got his pop. So,
and it's not like his music was playing. She just
right.
said his name. He was already out there. Like,
yeah.
that shows you even more.
Yeah.
You know, music plays, you get a little more excited, but no, that, I don't know what I don't see, what they don't see, so.
Yeah.
Maybe he's a jerk. Maybe he's a jerk, I don't know.
That was one of the five questions that I had last week on SmackDown, as far as the SmackDown episode, like, why not give him a chance, so. Any Raw thoughts, any SmackDown thoughts? We're going to be taking calls here. 347-884-8452. Feel free to call in. We will take calls. So let's go forward to the Impact Wrestling. We'll do Impact Wrestling, then we'll do Destination X. Like I said, if anybody has any thoughts for that, call in 347-884-8452. Impact Wrestling, Bully Ray and Joseph Park in ring segment. Bully accepts the challenge. Bully Ray, he said he's not on. I'll say it as he said it, Twitter, with his New York accent. Hogan and Aries backstage segment. Aries has to give up the belt by the end of the night. D-Von defeats Crimson. Crimson loses again after having such a long winning streak. Madison Rayne comes out and reveals her crush, which is Earl Hebner. Incredibly weird. Chris Sabin cuts an in-wing promo, interrupted by Bobby Roode, who attacks Sabin, and Aries makes the save. Flip Casanova defeats Dakota Darso. Miss Taskmacher and Tara defeats Gil Kim and Madison Rayne. AJ Styles promo interrupted by Daniels and Kazarian. A Hogan backstage segment. He gets a message delivered to him, which says, Aces and Eights, see you next week. And if anybody don't know who Aces and Eights are, that's the three-man group who attacked Sting a few weeks ago. Kenny King defeats Lars Only. He had his All Night Express tights on, which is pretty interesting. ROH shout out. Probably that's the only tights that he had around because he was no longer a part of ROH.
Yeah.
Backstage segment between Austin Aries and Kenny King. That means something for those who don't watch ROH or haven't followed ROH over the past years. Austin Aries and Kenny King are both ROH bred wrestlers. They've competed in many other independent promotions, but they are ROH guys. Jeff Hardy defeats James Storm, and then a Hogan in-ring promo interrupted by Bobby Roode, and then Austin Aries. Eventually, we saw Sunday on Destination X. Firstly was the X Division Tournament, the Last Chance Qualifier. Mason Andrews defeated Rubix, Lars Only, and Dakota Darso. X Division Championship Quarterfinals was Mason Andrews defeating Kid Cash. Kid Cash came right after the match. Mason Andrews won that one, too. Another quarterfinals match for the Ultimate X match later that night. Kenny King defeated Douglas Williams. X Division Championship quarterfinals again. We saw Sanjay Dutt defeating Rashad Cameron. Like I said before, Rashad Cameron was one of Ryback's victims a few weeks ago. Then the last quarterfinal match was Zema Ion defeating Flip Casanova. Bound for Glory series, Samoa Joe defeating Kurt Angle actually passes out. Earl Hebner calls for the bell, and then he gets right back up. They played it decent. He passed out for a second, and he got right back up. And so I think there was a decent way to play it that way. And then we saw, X Division Championship, and the Ultimate X match, Zema Ion defeating Mason Andrews, Kenny King, and Sanjay Dutt in the Ultimate X match. earlier in the show, we saw a return of Jesse Sorensen. He broke his neck by Zema Ion doing a botched moonsault 5 months ago. And then lastly, TNA World Championship. My boy did it. Austin Aries, he defeats Bobby Roode to become the new TNA World Heavyweight Champion. First time since he came to the company. I believe he came in 2005. Was his first year in TNA. He was there from 05 to 07 and then left. Actually, there was some disputes. Well, they basically didn't want to invest in him because they was talking about how he had a bad attitude, was rumored. And was gone since 07 and came back last year. So after a four-year hiatus, he came back and he won. I watched the pay-per-view, and it was decent. And I think for it being Destination X, I think it was well written. I think it was a well written pay-per-view. Of course, it showcases the X Division stars, and I think that the Ultimate X match was a little lackluster to me. But at the same time, everything about the pay-per-view was eclipsed and atoned by Austin Aries winning. They did the confetti, celebrated. It was a great moment for TNA.
Definitely. Always good to see. Well, first off, definitely bittersweet here. You know, I'm a Roode guy, but I'm also Aries. It's like 1A, 1B. Aries has a skill set that's just ridiculous. Yeah, like I said, bittersweet, but happy. I mean, it's still cool. Glad to see somebody, a new champion crowned for the first time after, you know, working their butt off and not just winning a Money in the Bank match. But no, honestly, I mean, WWE needs to take notes because that's how you do it right there.
Yep.
Like, to me, that's a feel-good story. That's all good. I mean, they built him up to do it, and, you know, you wasn't for sure if it was really going to happen. So, I don't know. That's really good. And then I'm just really to see where Roode goes from here. I don't know. Maybe a rematch. But even after that, pretty sure Austin Aries is going to have that title around his waist for a long time to come. So,
I tweeted about that. I actually don't think so. I think that I'm, you know, other than Sting, Austin Aries is my favorite wrestler in TNA right now. And I can see that being the case for the foreseeable future as far as being my favorite wrestler in TNA. But I don't think that they have enough confidence in him to be on the big show. Like their WrestleMania is Bound for Glory in October, so you're talking 2 months. I'm sorry, you're talking 3 months for Bound for Glory. There's a big part of me, man, that feels that he is going to lose the title at their September pay-per-view. I don't think that they have enough stock in Aries as far as being that, you know, headlining their version of WrestleMania. So I think he'll keep it for 2 months. I think he'll lose it back to Storm because I think they'll have a face win the Bound for Glory series. And I think that whoever wins will go against Roode. And maybe, I mean, I don't know if they'll beat Roode or not, but they'll go against Roode. A part of me feels that James Storm may win, and we'll see a James Storm and Bobby Roode rematch at Bound for Glory.
Hmm. Yeah, now that you say that, I could definitely see it that way.
Yeah. And then we'll go to ROH. Like I said, if anybody anybody want to say anything about all listeners, if you feel need to share your thoughts about this week's television programming, feel free to call in. on air live, 347-884-8452. Once again, the number is 347-884-8452. We'll be taking calls if applicable. Next, we'll go to ROH here. ROH, basically, we saw Jay Lethal defeating Michael Elgin. Then there was some dissension between Michael Elgin and Roderick Strong, both part of Truth Martini's faction or group. Kevin Steen and Jim Cornette has a in-ring segment, and Jim Cornette came to the conclusion that because he messed up on some sponsors, every time Steen competes, it would now be for the title, no matter what. And then the first challenge was against Eddie Edwards, which Kevin Steen defeats Eddie Edwards. I do want to make note that the past couple weeks, Mark Madden has been saying some very disparaging things about ROH, and specifically Kevin Steen. He don't think that his look is good at all. He doesn't think he's a good representation. Kevin Steen is part of his gimmick to heal him up, because he's been face, getting a lot of face pops, and he is supposed to be a heel. To heal him up, he kind of downgrades ROH as a whole, and Mark Madden just thinks that that's terrible booking, and he's just not a fan of Steen or just ROH's product, and he said a lot of disparaging things about Maria as well. So, I disagree with Mark Madden. It's always good to hear Mark Madden's take on things, because he is pretty controversial. I don't always agree with him, but at the same time, it's good to hear it. But this specific case, I would have to disagree. I mean, ROH's product as a whole is where wrestling is, where pure wrestling is at, and I would definitely have to say that. And if anything, Maria has honed, and you mentioned this too, Maria has definitely honed her craft as a wrestling personality in ROH. So, you know, many people know, and people who watch the show every week, listen to the show every week, you know, they know that I'm a fan of ROH as far as their product as a whole.
Yeah, me too. But I would have to definitely disagree with him as well, because I mean, I'm not, you know, the entire audience, but I'm sure they're, I feel like I'm the, not rabid, and I'm definitely not casual. I don't know, I guess you could say average wrestling fan, but I don't know, let me toot my own horn there, above average. So, and I personally think that the best part of ROH right now is any time Kevin Steen has a microphone. So, I don't know. His promos are good. I like what they're doing. They don't, I mean, how many wrestlers have ever down-talked their, you know, company? That's something different. And then as for his look, it goes back to, like, I agreed with what Bret Hart said. I don't think, where's the King Kong Bundys? Where's the Yokozunas? Like, I'm not saying he has to be fat or huge or out of shape, but everybody doesn't have to look like this juiced up guy. When I'm saying juiced up, I'm not talking about steroids, you know. I'm just, everybody doesn't have to be some muscle bound beach bum, you know. Like, yeah. It's, where's the Mick Foley's? Like, where are these guys that are just, I don't know. Everybody looks the same. So, what's wrong with Kevin Steen looking different? I like their little group they have, the three of them together. Like, that's cool to me. And like we said, Maria's, she's totally changed her character from WWE. Like, just being that sweet, innocent girl to now she's this, I don't know, like, I don't know how to describe it. She's just different. But
yeah.
I don't know. I'm with you. I disagree with them. The best part of ROH TV right now is Kevin Steen holding the microphone.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's definitely one of the best parts as well. So let's go on to Money in the Bank predictions here. Like I said, we may have time for a call, so feel free to call in 347 888-484-8452. Money in the Bank predictions. We'll first start off with the R-Truth against Hunico and Camacho tag team match. Not even billed for the tag team title, so don't understand why they're doing it. Not billed for the tag team titles, but at the same time, pretty much no-brainer for me. Kofi Kingston and R-Truth wins.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Same yeah.
here.
What's that?
That R Boom.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry. R Boom. Yeah, that's that's. I think that's one of the names that was even posed on WWE.com. R Boom, but they never really made a name for themselves as far as a team name. We'll see if that changes. We have Sheamus against Alberto Del Rio for the World Heavyweight Championship. I also believe this is a no-brainer. I think Sheamus is on a pathway to dominance with this World Heavyweight title. And I definitely think that Alberto Del Rio is just another rung in the ladder for him to keep climbing. Sheamus
yeah.
wins to me.
Yeah, Sheamus doing his best Triple H impression, like you said, with dominance with the world title.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We got the World Heavyweight Championship, no longer called SmackDown Money in the Bank, but it's called the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank now. The participants are Damian Sandow, Tyson Kidd, Christian, Santino Marella, Tensai, Cody Rhodes, Dolph Ziggler, and Sin Cara. Okay, so we got 8, possibly 9 come SmackDown, but we'll stick with this 8 right now. So out of these 8, eliminating Christian and Santino, because they both are mid-card champions, I'm going to eliminate Sandow because I believe that he's not ready yet. He's on the pathway to superstardom, but not ready yet. Tyson Kidd is too much of a dark horse to win. Daniel Bryan kind of was last year, but I don't see Tyson Kidd, his character, you know, really working as far as a legitimate face or heel right now. I really hope that they, you know, continue to push him. I love it. I love what they're doing, but I don't think he's ready yet. Tensai is just a spot filler that they're just trying to force free down our throats. Sin Cara is too much of a dark horse, too. So to me, it leaves Cody Rhodes and Dolph Ziggler. I believe that Dolph Ziggler is too glass ceiling to me. So I'm going to go with Cody Rhodes. I think that they won't, the whole stretching his, you know, gimmick as far as winning the Money in the Bank, or he didn't qualify, and then all of a sudden he qualified. I think that meant more. I think that meant something, and I think that Cody Rhodes will win the World Heavyweight Championship Money in the Bank.
Yeah, process of elimination. I basically did the same thing. I didn't want Dolph to win it and win his title through Money in the Bank. I'd love for Sin Cara to win so I could be right, but they're not going to do that. Damian Sandow. We just talked about how Austin Aries, that's how you do it. That's how somebody wins a world title. I could see them, they've done it before. I could see them doing it again. But process of elimination, yeah, I went with Cody Rhodes too.
Yeah. CM Punk against Daniel Bryan for the WWE Championship with AJ as special guest referee. As much as I want Daniel Bryan to win, and AJ to pull a swerve, I don't think they have enough stock for Daniel Bryan to carry it to SummerSlam, unfortunately, because that would leave CM Punk without a big, big spot. I think that they would rather have Punk have a big spot than Daniel Bryan. So I'm gonna go with Punk on this one.
I feel the same way, but I'm actually I'm going to split you here. I'm going Brian.
Okay.
Right. I say why after we get to the WWE Money in the Bank.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and that consists of Big Show, Kane, Chris Jericho, and John Cena. I think I've pretty much, you know, said my my opinion on this throughout the show. I think Cena's going to win. I don't see anybody else winning. I don't see. I mean, if Big Show wins, cashes it in. I think what you said, even as far as if this is going to be the main event, I think it even plays more into it, because I think if Big Show wins, CM Punk would win the WWE Championship, or if Chris Jericho wins CM Punk, I see CM Punk winning too. So I think just because of the suspense of who's going to win the contract, CM Punk and Daniel Bryan would be before the match, and I think the match would main event, and I think John Cena will go, will win it.
Yep. I think Cena does too, and I'd love to see a Cena-Bryan promo. Why not do something fresh and have it headline SummerSlam? You got to take the chance. I think Bryan can hold the fire. I think he can get the pay-per-view buys. I don't know if they were going to do Punk and Show already, then they can do it for, you know, without a title. So,
yeah. Something I just thought about. Daniel Bryan wins the title at Money in the Bank, celebrates. John Cena wins the contract at Money in the Bank. So this may, as far as why the WWE Championship could be the main event, say that the four-way is before, or maybe he'll probably get a Ryback match, you know, just to break the mold a little bit, or just to set up for the championship. So you got the four-way, Cena wins the Money in the Bank, and then you have Daniel Bryan beating Punk, and then Cena cashing it in that night, beating Daniel Bryan, setting up for a triple threat match at Mania, and then Big Show, Kane, and Jericho have a triple threat match as well at, I'm sorry, not at Mania, but at SummerSlam, and Big Show, Kane, and Jericho have a triple threat number one contenders match, something to consider, so...
I think that
may work. I mean, you know, it'll be different. So those are, what's that?
Real quick, there's only five matches on the card. What happened to the days of, you know, eight matches, even 10? Yeah. I watched Invasion the other day. There was, including Sunday Night Heat, there was 11 matches on that card.
Wow. And that's Invasion.
Yeah. Yeah.
That wasn't even a major pay-per-view at that time. You know, it's not one of the big four. So, it was major as far as, you know, what it meant, but it wasn't one of the big four. And technically, counting on the card, technically there's only four matches. There's five counting the pre-show, but it makes it even worse. Yeah, so you're right, man. That's sad. And the thing is, there'll probably be a Ryback match. There'll probably be a Brodus Clay match. So it'll be six matches altogether, but, you know, you can throw away two of them. So.
Yeah.
Flavor of the week, real quick. We'll discuss a couple of the biggest identity angles with the time that we have. Just a few of them. One of them I wanted to discuss is the Who Hit Austin. I got about 7 minutes or so. The Who Hit Austin identity angle was revealed to be Rikishi saying that he did it for The Rock, which is pretty interesting. And what I mean by biggest identity angles is an angle that led to someone, you know, revealing someone to be the culprit of something, or, you know, who was this, or, you know, who did this, you know, and something is revealed. So as far as TNA, 10-10-10 is one. That's probably their biggest reveal angle of that nature, or the biggest identity angle. It flopped. There was just so many possibilities and for Jeff Hardy to win and turn heel. As we saw, it didn't last for long at all. Undertaker versus Undertaker in 94, I believe it was. Undertaker got sent out on a casket and was gone until SummerSlam, and the fake Undertaker was managed by Ted DiBiase, and Paul Bearer came back and brought the real Undertaker, and we thought, you know, it was interesting to see that, to see if, okay, is the real Undertaker going to come out, which is pretty cool. Speaking of that, debut of Kane was also a good identity angle. Who is Kane? Came in 1997, October of 1997. Was Isaac Yankum DDS not too far before that and came back as Kane. Black Scorpion from WCW. That was a real good one that I remember back in the day, and that was actually revealed. There was a couple of fake identities, but it was ultimately revealed the Black Scorpion, the guy who the voiceover, I believe, was Ole Anderson. And then the actual reveal was ended up being Ric Flair, who cut his hair. That was a really, really good one, the Black Scorpion, who clipped Shawn Michaels' leg. That was an angle that happened, don't remember the year, but it ended up being Triple H. You know, it was me, Shawn. So yeah. That was pretty interesting. Dusty Rhodes ended up being the Midnight Rider. He was suspended for a while, and he came back for a second in NWA as the Midnight Rider. That was pretty cool as well. And then Undertaker Stalker. That was one of the most surprising ones for me. I had absolutely no clue that it was Diamond Dallas Page, and I think that was a great call by WWE. I was thoroughly impressed in that, actually, when he unmaxed just the weeks prior and showing, like, you know, videos of, you know, Sarah and, you know, stalking and you know, the camera shots and stuff like that, and never imagined out of anybody, because DDP was a relatively a baby face at the time, you know, when WCW was ending, and you know, he comes as a bona fide heel, and he got some pops when he unveiled himself, because he was over in WCW so much. But it was a good choice. Didn't last too long, but it was a good identity angle. And then of course the countdown to the millennium. We saw throughout Raw and SmackDown, we saw the countdown to Millennium before August of 1999. A lot of people thought that it was the actual countdown to Millennium, and then they did their math, and they were like, okay, wait, this doesn't lead to December 31st. And so, yeah, I mean, Chris Jericho, goes down, the time goes down, and interferes The Rock, and Jericho comes out, gets a lot of pops. That was great. And then lastly, the Higher Power. That was the one of the most intriguing angles in WWE for a while. Many people thought it was different people. I mean, there was rumors about Jake the Snake. There was other rumors about different people. There was Undertaker, of course. He was in the feud, but there's a lot of rumors that he was the Higher Power himself. And then there was even rumors going around that, you know, God rest his soul, and definitely utmost respect to the Hart family, but Owen Hart, I mean, there was even some rumors that he was the Higher Power and faking his death, which was just ridiculous to me. But to me, it was very lackluster for all the build-up and all the suspense to the Higher Power angle. It just ended up being Vince McMahon. So that's some interesting identity or reveal angles that the WWE and NWA and TNA has showed us over the past 10 to 20 years.
Yeah, Undertaker and DDP, for me, that was, I mean... like I said, wasn't a big WCW guy, but I knew about DDP, and I never, you didn't know who was coming over from WCW, so that was extremely crazy. And then the whole Millennium Countdown, I was one of those people at first, thought it was to the year 2000, and then said, hey, wait a minute, that's off. Back in 99, I wasn't, you know, wasn't a lot of internet stuff going on. A lot of people didn't have access like that, so it wasn't given away for me. And like I said before, just said, I wasn't a big WCW guy. I didn't know about Chris Jericho until WWE, so nobody strike me down here or get upset with me. But, yes, I am currently reading his second book, so I'm getting my history in. Yeah. But, for me, though, the biggest identity that was never solved, and I just thought about this, is who the heck was behind GTV?
I knew you were going to say that.
That was, who the heck?
Still nobody knows. The biggest... The two biggest names right now is Meat or Goldust. So.
Yeah, that's insane. That's hilarious. Next week, Flavor of the Week for me. I believe that since it's our last show before the 1,000th episode, it's basically Talk Raw. It's kind of hard to, you know, narrow down your Raw moments. I'm going to try from now until next week to think of as many as I can, because I brought up a moment, and just last night I brought up a moment to my roommate, and I forget what it was, but he said, wow, I totally forgot about that. That did happen on Raw. There's so many things that we forget, you know? Like,
yep.
It's crazy. 1,000 episodes, and, I mean, most of us have been here since day one. I actually can't take all that credit. I've been there since about mid to late 90s. So, yeah, but wow, that's still amazing.
Yeah.
1,000 episodes. Lots of memories, man. Lots of memories.
It is. And we definitely would love to hear your 1,000th Raw or most memorable Raw episodes for the Flavor of the Week next week. Numbers 347-884-8452. Write that down and prepare yourself to have some good discussion next week. Thank you so much for tuning in with us as always. Follow us on Twitter at Crave Wrestling. Like us on Facebook. Crave Wrestling is the page for Facebook. And check me out on Bleacher Report, feature columnist for Bleacher Report, Chris Featherstone. Check out my articles that I write. Thank you so much for your support. We greatly appreciate it. If you would even like to give financially, PayPal, cravewrestling@gmail.com. Speaking of the email address, if you have any type of Flavor of the Week ideas, be sure to send them to us, and or any type of thoughts or comments, we will read them, and we will also read good tweets throughout the week if suitable as well. So, but yeah, we encourage to hear your voice, and be sure to email us any Flavor of the Weeks, cravewrestling@gmail.com. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be here next week, so get ready to talk some Raw. God bless.